from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Some people like Chris Emma.
We are live at the wall out here in Gurnee. This is the spot to watch Hard Knocks. This is the spot to watch Bears games. This is the spot to get food and drink and play Golden Tee and have a great time.
There's a baby here. I mean, I thought Zeb, you know, Corey's son Zeb was going to be the youngest kid, but no, we got, that's got to be under, I'm going to say 3 months. 6 months?
Eight months.
All right.
8 months.
I was very wrong on
three months. It's been a long time since he's had a baby.
I haven't had a baby in almost 12 years.
Baby can hold his head up. You're in 3 months.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's Shad's baby.
Yeah, that's incredible. Shad from the South Side is here.
Came all the way to Gurnee from the South Side.
Phenomenal.
Well, to be fair, Danny, we don't know if it's Shad's baby. He could have found it. We don't know if that is his.
If he found that baby is lucky to be found by Shad.
That's
true. A lot
true.
Of takes in that household.
Although, I did see a pregnant woman in the lobby. Looked like she was going into labor. So it could a younger baby.
Oh, so we might have a younger. Yeah. Maybe crossing my fingers, we can get a younger baby here at the wall before the end of the show.
Well, if I know what brings people out to viewing experiences, it's the promise of being able to be in the presence of an 8-month-old baby.
Yes.
It's what everyone wants when they're watching sports and on airplanes.
The other thing that works is if Chris Emma is going to do a Bears report full of audio and nuggets and tidbits from a hot Bears practice
that was pretty new.
That happened earlier in the day.
Oh, hi, Chris Emma.
What up?
What's up, guys? How we doing?
Oh, we're great.
We're
How
good,
are you,
man.
Sir?
Thank you for bringing a sense of professionalism immediately to this absolutely chaotic show.
Did you see the pole vaulter at the Olympics? Never mind.
I have not.
Okay, yeah, no.
He's been working.
It was impressive.
Yeah, said, what was Bears practice like today? Tell us how Caleb did, and tell us how it looked from your perspective in a general sense, Chris.
Yeah, a little bit of a lighter day there, fresh off the off day. They've done what they call blocks, which is kind of a 3-practice segment in which they build up toward the end. So today was the lighter day. They're going to go full pads tomorrow and Thursday as well. Caleb had a good day. He looked sharp out there, good command of his passes, of his route trees, going through everything he needed to do. Capped off practice well today as he was leading a 2-minute situation. Hit Gerald Everett on a pass that set up Cairo Santos for the game-tying field goal in that scenario. So good day for Caleb Williams. Some procedural issues for the offense, continued issues with the false start and some of the pre-snap stuff, but I tend to think that'll get worked out.
Okay, so that will get worked out, and it was one of those types of days that are weird to really glean anything from, but meaningful people did speak today. Who are we hearing from during this report, Emma?
Yeah, Matt Eberflus got right to it, talking about the plan for Caleb Williams and really the unique situation as they balance the offensive line. We've heard in the past Matt Eberflus talking about, we want to get that best 5 out there, but they are also in a situation with injuries and inconsistencies and trying to determine, what is that best 5? How can they get all these guys on the field at the same time? And as that relates to Caleb Williams, look, they don't want to put their young quarterback out there with an offensive line they don't exactly trust. So it's still yet to be determined whether Caleb Williams will play in Saturday's preseason game in Buffalo. Matt Eberflus talked about kind of the delicate balance and the priorities with Caleb Williams wanting that continuity while also searching for consistency with that group. Here's Matt Eberflus.
There's obviously you want continuity and you want consistency for sure. That's what you're getting to, and that is for sure the case. We'll go as fast as we can to make that decision, but we'll also go have our patience and go as slow as we need to to make the right decision. So I think it's important that you look at it that way. You know, certainly we want to get it solidified, but sometimes injury plays into that, you know, where you get opportunity and position flex based on that. Everybody's not healthy all the time. So, but yeah, for sure we want the consistency to be there as fast as we can.
It's interesting. So does your gut instinct say that the health of the offensive line is going to affect what ordinarily would have been the plan for Caleb Williams' exposure in these preseason games, Chris?
I think so, Speaks. Yeah, look, it's a delicate balance, certainly, when you're looking at what you need for a young quarterback in this blueprint, which they've really been riding since the day that Caleb Williams was selected number one overall. And they've not really been able to accelerate that part, which is the preseason component here, because of the offensive line uncertainty. And I tend to believe that Caleb will play in Saturday's game. I think you're going to see maybe one or two series, something scripted really well where he gets the ball out quickly for passing plays, hand off, get him out of harm's way. Really just more of the experience factor instead of simply running through different parts of the offense. Worth noting, guys, that Darnell Wright, Tevin Jenkins were back out there today, full participants. Nate Davis continues to ramp up. He went through walkthrough with the first team offense, went through stretching, and then he was riding the bike the rest of the way. That seems to be part of the plan for Nate Davis. I think we're going to learn more by the end of this week. So I guess Wednesday, Thursday, as you get into where these starters are and what you're looking for out of that group. Matt Eberflus said they're going to determine by that point, and that's when they'll know whether they got good health there or not.
Yeah, that feels like it would be a mistake. Like I understand. I think what you said there at the end is how I would handle it too, is you can't not – if you thought the best thing for Caleb is to play, and now a couple of guys are hurt, and then you're just going to not play him. I'm normally conservative with this sort of thing, but they think he needs to play. What's to say these guys aren't going to be hurt week one against the Titans?
Right, and you might have to change the game plan then to adjust for some fears on the offensive line. So I think
if you believe that he needs preseason reps, yeah. I think he needs preseason reps. Again, I would be fine if they said, we'll see you against the Titans and we'll deal sure. with the rust then. I know I'm in the minority on that. I personally would be fine with it. I know that's not what they're going to do, but I don't think you can be like, well, Nate Davis hasn't been here, so we can't play Caleb Williams. Yeah. I don't think that can be a factor.
This conversation, this segment, that tape is kind of cementing where I am on it, actually, Chris, and that would be that he ought to play, and maybe they'll adjust it, and we can do some quick hitters, do more handoffs, and just here the first time around, do it that way. Quick question, backtracking on the procedural issues at practice today. Are we talking false start? Were there more of the offensive penalties? And did you get the sense that was due to the backups on the offensive line, or just a lack of continuity on that front?
Yeah, a handful of false starts. I want to kind of really understand whether this is something that's more on the quarterback or more so the mixing and matching of the offensive line, or maybe both. You know, we talked to both Caleb Williams about it, talking to different offensive linemen. Nobody really wants to kind of put it out there as to who's at fault or how they kind of get this cleaned up. But I think it was a week and a half ago, Matt Eberflus credited the procedural stuff pre-snap, and it feels like it's been a mess ever since then. So it was strong to start this camp. Obviously, Eberflus jumped the gun a little bit, but it's August 6th. I'm not too worried about it. You're going to get mistakes at this point. Get them out of the way. Be ready for week one.
All right. Well, so let's get into some more specifics on the offensive line. Nate Davis, not exactly a fan favorite among the Bears. What's the latest with him?
Yeah, Matt Eberflus had some interesting comments talking about Nate Davis's status. I should preface this by saying July 29th, we got to hear from Shane Waldron. He was asked, Nate Davis comes back, is he your starter? Is he your guy when he's healthy? And Shane Waldron said pretty clearly, yes, he's our guy. He's our right guard. Matt Eberflus, not so much today. We asked about Nate Davis. He would not commit to it. Here's Matt Eberflus on Nate Davis's status.
Yeah, I mean, you know, certainly you have to look at all those things. You know, if a person's out for an extended period of time, you know, and a player that's in that position is playing very well at a starter level, you know, and doing a good job there, then you create the competition. Then you say, hey, there's a competition. You know, people say, well, you can't lose the job because of injury. I don't think that's true. I think that if the guy that's playing there, you know, gives our team a good look and a good benefit for him being in that position, then it's a competition, or the other guy could take it over. But that's not just that guard. That's at all positions.
You know, it continues to sound like, you know, coach speak and an opportunity to have some tough talk about availability. And I think it's an important clarification what Emma provided. I think it's Nate Davis's job if he's healthy enough to go.
Follow the money, man. they gave him real money. What was that, a $19 million contract? I think a little over 10 was guaranteed from memory.
And with all the availability issues and the injury issues last year, when he was healthy, he played.
Yeah, so that was a priority free agent for Ryan Poles, who really does stick to his conviction, as we've seen by his effort with multiple attempts to bring in Ryan Bates and, you know, using a first-round pick on Darnell Wright and drafting Braxton Jones and not moving off him at left tackle when there were options to do so. You know, he's got conviction in the guys that he scouts on the offensive line. So Nate Davis is the right guard. I haven't really wavered on that.
A question about the backup guard, Bill Murray. Chris, what Bill Murray is this? Is this young, swashbuckling Caddyshack Bill Murray? Is it, you know, kooky What About Bob Bill Murray? Or is it something much later in the catalog?
Good question.
I mean, look, I was out there for practice Sunday. I did not recognize some of the names of the guys running in with the ones. Bill Murray was there. We're well aware of Bill Murray's name now. Matty Rufus kind of volunteered in last week talking about how great Bill Murray has looked so far. That's lovely. That's not the guy I want to be hearing. He's doing great so far and is running with the ones. That should be Nate Davis. Danny, let me up the ante on you. Nate Davis is 3 years, $30 million, 18 plus guaranteed. Like, you paid a lot of money for him. Now, this is a situation where we've seen many times before. Is the front office and the coaching staff on different pages? Maybe Ryan Poles wants more for Nate Davis than the coaching staff, and you see some kind of disconnect. We also know that Ryan Poles really likes Ryan Bates. That is your contingency plan. Ryan Bates, most likely your starting center in a scenario in which Nate Davis is healthy, but they can slide him over to right guard, no problem. They like Coleman Shelton, too. This guy started 17 games for the Rams last year at center. Today was a Coleman Shelton day at center, in part because Nate Davis is out. And you did see Ryan Bates at that right guard spot. So we'll see. At some point, it is a lot of money, yes, but you got to put that aside of what's going to be best for you. And back to our original point with the quarterback, you got to find the right caddy at center to be there. And at some point, commit, this is Caleb Williams center. This is going to be the guy working with him as a rookie. So we're not there yet. You still got probably a couple weeks before you really got to solidify that. But availability is the best ability, and we've just not seen that from Nate Davis.
Source of excitement for Bears fans is the big three wide receivers. Tell us about them and where things stand and what you heard today from the big three.
Yeah, we got to hear from Keenan Allen and Romo Dunze. Obviously heard from DJ Moore last week after the ink was dry and that $110 million contract extension. Keenan Allen's an interesting guy. Like, this guy is a veteran's veteran, a pro's pro. I love hearing from Keenan Allen. And today it was especially relevant because you're going to hear from him. He was excited for DJ Moore, but there's also the issue for Keenan Allen entering a contract year. So here is Keenan Allen first with the reaction to DJ Moore's deal and then his own situation.
Feels great. No, obviously, he just secured it. And, you know, that's great. You know, anytime a receiver, especially a guy in our room, you know, somebody that we're going to see every day, you know, it just brings the morale, the excitement up every day. And, you know, happy for him. And, we'll see what happens.
Are you looking to get an extension done?
No, I'm just trying to, you know, bring my best game for the team and, you know, just do what I can.
You've obviously had several months now to settle in with this team. Were you want the idea of an extension here? Is this a place you're looking at thinking I could be here for several years?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we already have great chemistry in the locker room. Great friends already made, and, you know, the city is beautiful. The team is coming together nice, so absolutely.
Are you okay with the idea if this is a contract year of going out there, proving it, looking for that next deal, whether it's here or somewhere else?
Yeah, I have no problem doing that. You know, bet on myself any day of the week.
It's interesting. It's interesting because – you know, is his best bet going to be to play very well and then go hit the market as one of the big-time free agents? I would assume so, because I would assume that he wants more than the Bears would conceivably try to do right now as a contract extension. I haven't allowed myself to really think of that as a possibility at this point.
Yeah, I mean, they're not going to pay Keenan Allen.
I don't think so.
I understand wanting it and campaigning for it, and they have the cap space to do it. And receiver's a hugely premium position.
For sure, but they just drafted one, and they only used a fourth-round pick on this guy, and it's part of the perfect landing spot situation they have for Caleb. That's what it's about, and to win this year.
Yeah, right, to win this year, minimal investment to get him, have him help Rome Odunze, everything about it. It's just paying for a receiver into his mid-30s when you don't, like, it just goes from a very cheap acquisition to a very expensive acquisition. If all of a sudden they're like, let's pay for his 34, 35, and 36-year-old seasons on a $20 million plus per year contract. Do you disagree, Emma? I'd be shocked if they paid Keenan Allen.
You know, I could have made the case back in March when they did make this move that you can do kind of a front-loaded two-year deal where you have an out after this year if you see fit. I've talked to multiple sources over the last few months who have indicated this is something they're going to follow up on mid-season. So think about end of October, past the deadline into November. See how Keenan Allen's playing, first and foremost, if he's healthy. And he did miss some games last year. But if he's on that kind of consistent Keenan Allen pace or not, that 100-catch plus, being that guy for Caleb Williams – they're open to the idea, but it's something that they're not open to yet. The Bears want to see Keenan Allen go on and prove it. To the other point, Keenan Allen hired a new agent. He hired Clutch Sports over the last month or two, I believe it was, fired his previous agent. He's looking for a deal. He's looking for kind of that next contract. I think he's open to the idea that the Bears are just a bridge team, and he's going to hit the open market, what, just before year, age 33 for him, and being a free agent and a premium one at that.
He's 5 years older than DJ Moore. You know, it's like, it's interesting when DJ Moore called him, well, that's a vet. Yeah. Five years is an eternity for an NFL wide receiver.
They got him for value. They would, if they sign him, that's paying a premium, right? It would be a very inefficient way to go about doing it. I'd be shocked. But he's going to have a huge impact on Rome Odunze, who I imagine is enjoying learning from these veterans.
Yeah, it's great for Rome Odunze. And as we talk about that transition plan at wide receiver, Rome's obviously the part of that. You want him in an ideal world to become your number one guy. And Rome Odunze is learning from both Keenan Allen and DJ Moore. Here's Rome Odunze and what he's seeking out from his teammates.
Right. I think I'll just try and take a lot. You know, I just try to take in, you know, every route that they run and what they see on different coverages. They probably annoy with me all the things that I ask them about. But yeah, I try and gain as much information as possible. But sometimes I look back, I'm like, man, I'm not even going to ask a question about that. Like, whatever he did right there, that's something special for him. You know what I mean? And that's one thing that you garner too. Like, you know, sometimes I watch Keenan, sometimes I watch DJ, and they do things. I'm like, okay, I don't know if that's in my playbook. You know, I'm gonna have to figure out a different way to, you know, get the route done, because they're special in that way. They have, you know, such unique traits to be able to do so many different things and comfortability to get open on any given route. So just learning those things and learning the different nuances that they do within a route and catching the ball that I try and emulate. But, you know, got to find my own style within that as well.
Damn, he's as impressive as Caleb, man. He really is. Just like the way he thinks about it, the way he's able to articulate it, and it's just what a great spot for him to get a chance to learn from two guys like that. Reminds me of a young pitcher, out there. The kid I was talking about from the Braves, Schwellenbach, yesterday, there with Charlie Morton and Chris Sale and Max Fried, learning everything he can in the dugout.
That's awesome. We keep talking about the nest in the that they've built for Caleb.
Oh, my God.
It's a pretty good one that they've done for Rome Odunze.
Incredible.
Hey, for the route running, Keenan Allen.
Yep.
Hey, for the contested catchability, the professionalism, all that, DJ Moore, combination, learn everything, and then just go be great.
Yeah, and oh, by the way, just go ahead and bond with the rookie quarterback on the same timeline, and this could be your team within a year or two.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Emma, Bears Nuggets, what do we got?
Yeah, interesting sub-story of training camp. Valus Jones Jr. is getting a look at a running back today. Matt Eberflus said they are looking at this through kind of this weekend. It's something they're going to reevaluate, I believe, following this week. Look, they see him as a weapon in that position and a potential option. I tend to still bet against Valus Jones being on the roster, the initial 53, but this is an opportunity for him. He's in a wide receiver spot that's deep, and he's got a chance now to crack in and be some kind of specialist at the running back position. And John Hussey and his crew were present today, leading practice in the officiating side. I got to talk with John Hussey after practice. We got to go over the three new rule changes. Cover them with quick spark notes here, but you got the kickoff format, which was we learned about ad nauseum during the Hall of Fame game. The elimination of the hip drop tackle is something that's going to be a key point. And an expanded replay assist for calls such as roughing the passer, late hits out of bounds, and intentional grounding. I asked John Hussey about kind of the hip drop aspect. Is this something you think is going to be over-officiated or overly controversial with players? He said, look, that they are not going to be calling that unless it's a blatant call. It's something that's clear as day to them that it's an illegal play. I don't think it's going to be something that's got a lot of wiggle room early on. So We'll see how that one plays out, but interesting to hear from John Hussey. And two more days of practice, both in full pads to wrap up the week. Walkthrough on Friday, off to Buffalo for the game on Saturday.
Chris, one thing on Velus Jones. Is it at all possible that he's working with the running backs because some of the blocking on the new kickoffs mirror running back schemes, and he's got to think about it from that perspective? That's a theory I heard floated earlier today.
I love that theory. It absolutely makes a ton of sense. In fact, hearing from John Hussey, he referred to the kickoff play basically as a running play. Once you get to a certain point with the guy, with the returner taking that thing back, it turns into a running play. There's open field there. I can buy into that space. Yeah, if he is that guy they want to see as their kickoff returner, there's certainly some running back traits you can take from that as well. I'd also point to a guy like Tyler Scott, who's got some running back in his past and a guy who can run naturally with the football. He's somebody going to be competing for that spot as well. We saw him in the Hall of Fame game last Thursday night. So it's a good asset to have back there in the return game.
All right. Good job, Emma. Thank you very much. We appreciate it, man.
Take care.
All right.
Doesn't that make sense to you, Danny? That it could just be Velus wanting Velus to think with a running back's vision a little bit as the kickoff plays mirror that.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of was surprised to hear him say that he didn't think he was going to make the roster. I mean, Velus said that there's no one in the league who can cover him one-on-one, and I felt like his athleticism...
Oh, we know about how he feels about himself.
Well, I know he's as healthy as a baby horse.
Yeah.
The athleticism and the return ability with the new kickoff rule. He'd been having a pretty good camp.
Yeah.
So that's an interesting cut line guy.
Well, I mean, you've got the big three wide receivers, and then you've got Tyler Scott, who I think is going to make this team.
Yeah.
Then you've got DeAndre Carter, who's got some return game skills, and I don't know about his other utility.
Yeah, he's a borderline guy.
And then you've got Colin Johnson, who was the star of that game on Thursday and is, you know, actually played in the last three games last year and is a great story coming back from injury and might have a shot. I mean, that's six right there. So and I don't know that they'll actually it's seven with DeAndre Carter. So that's and what are they going to keep? Five? So
I'd probably six.
Yeah, maybe.
The Bears training camp coverage presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com, the number one draft pick, Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. When we got out here to the wall today in Gurnee, they were like, "Yeah, and Adam Kramer's going to be there." And we're like, "Kegs and eggs, Adam Kramer?" And they're like, "Yeah, he does stuff with Golden Tee." And we're like, "So he's not doing the college football, the football stuff?" He's like, "No."
That's a long time, college football talker, a regular on Spiegel and Goff back in the day, and a terrific talker.
And so somehow he's combined his world of football and Golden Tee. I mean,
well done, sir.
Yeah, so we'll talk to him, and he'll have Caleb thoughts. It's Parkins and Spiegel live at the Wall in Gurnee on the Score.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
Mango.
Afternoons on the Score.
All right, welcome back in. Parkins and Spiegel on the Score, live at the Wall. There we go.
Yeah, man.
We're at the Wall.
It's a good crowd now, man.
This is our first time being out here. We're hoping to make it a regular thing, get the Score up north here a little bit. It's a converted theater. It's the elevated sports bar experience. So think of a movie theater, the big screen, the sound system, but then TVs on the side of the wall, and it's free to get in here. And then obviously, you know, they're going to sell you your food and the booze, but you can play the Golden Tee, and we'll be watching Hard Knocks tonight. It's going to be a good time.
Yeah, man, you can come out here and watch Hard Knocks every Tuesday night, and you can come out for Bears games during the year, and all the sports stuff. stuff. They got all the sports packages in here, and it's like, I mean, this is a great hang, because watching this stuff communally, it's one of the best things that's left in our viewing lives, is the live sports, the communal experience of watching live sports with other humans.
And so this is the communal experience of not live sports, because it's recorded. But
tonight, that's true.
Tonight is episodic television.
That's an excellent point.
That's okay. And then when we got here, because this is our first time here, so we're just learning about these things.
Yeah.
And they're like, and Adam Kramer's going to be there. I'm like, why?
Why is Kegs and Eggs going to be here?
Why is Kegs and Eggs?
What does this place have to do with college football right now?
And he's like, well, because he does Golden Tee.
What does he do with Golden Tee?
So he quit college football for Golden Tee?
No, he didn't quit college football. He's doing everything.
He's doing everything. What's up, Adam?
Guys, it's great to see you.
What's up, man?
It's good to see you,
too. It's great to see you. Yes, I do a little bit of everything. I'm essentially like a giant kid, like sports and video games and all of the above. So
yeah.
It's
so
fun.
What do you do for Golden Tee?
Because
people can win a Golden Tee machine if they hit a hole-in-one today.
You could play a hole. We were just testing it out. It's ready to go, so come out and check it out. So I pretty much run the development on Golden Tee. So the courses, the features, if you don't like it, you can blame me. If you do like it, I'll take all the credit too. So no, we have a blast. We're right down the road here in Lincolnshire, so that's where we make the games, we produce them, we send them out all here, so we're very local, so it's fun to partner with you guys.
Was this a world that you inhabited for years and we just didn't know when you were just college football man?
I've kept them very separate for the most part, but I was attending Golden Tee tournaments in college. I was starting a college football blog in college, and there were just kind of these parallel universes, and eventually they would intersect. And you talk to a coach like Lincoln Riley, who loves Golden Tee. You talk to all these people in college football, all these coaches, they love Golden Tee, right? So these universes do collide more than I expected them to.
See,
do you have any other hobbies? Can we add a third thing?
I got three kids now, so that I'm good on hobbies, I think,
right,
at this point. Yeah, it's full.
But I thoroughly believe that, like, passionate people who have passions in multiple disciplines, our mission is to find a way to bring them all together.
It is.
As we get older.
Well, and you talk about the communal element. Like, Golden Tee is communal. You think of drinking beer, playing a game at the bar, watching sports with your buddies.
Yeah.
And so there is a natural intersection, I think, with these two things.
Good for you, man.
Yeah,
man.
Lincoln Riley think about Golden Tee and Caleb Williams?
He likes them both, obviously. He knows his quarterback. I will say, hearing you guys, because we were talking before we came on, I'm originally from Jersey. I'm a Jets fan, so I got my Hard Knocks last year. But
you've had it a couple times.
I've had it a couple times. Hopefully, it didn't work out for us. Hopefully, it works out for you guys. But watching
the last time, the 2010 team, right?
Well, that was fun.
AFC Championship.
That was
off
fun.
The Hard Knocks season.
Have a snack and all that. Like, yeah, when you think of
Hard Knocks, it's the best Hard Knocks season ever.
Yeah, but we'd like more than four plays for Caleb Williams. You had four.
Yes,
for Aaron.
I'm not even going to say it. I'm glad you did. But I watching Caleb Williams for as long as I did, and extending of plays and just the way he does things, like we need to evaluate him appropriately. As just a fan and someone that watched him and evaluated him, I was in awe watching him play football. I think when you get him out there, he's going to do great things.
Wait, so you were in awe. You've covered college football for Bleacher Report and others for how long at this point?
About 15, 20 years.
Okay. And in terms of college quarterbacks that you got the chance to watch with Focus, was he?
Well, because he didn't enter with the same hype as a Trevor Lawrence or in Andrew Luck, like he appeared, right? You had that really weird year with Spencer Rattler where they were sharing time, and all of a sudden you're like, you know, he was obviously a highly recruited guy, and then he was just there. And even when he went to USC, it was like, well, this guy could be really, really good. You know, college football is evolving, and then all of a sudden he just takes this another level. So I think he does things in terms of just keeping plays alive that I've not seen, and I'm not a quarterback evaluator by any means. But he's really, really special. And that team was just strange. Like, the whole Lincoln Riley experience, like, on offense, there's some really good things. It's hard to really assess his teams because the defense was so bad. So, you know, when he's going into the stands and he's showing emotion, all these things, we were just looking for ways to pick on this kid. Like, by the end of last year, it was like we were exhaustion, right? But when you actually – the Bears knew what they wanted to do, what, like, this time? Like, last year, if they were going to be in this position? Like, let's be honest.
Yeah, I mean, once it didn't work with Fields, it was once again, I mean, we were rooting against the Panthers, right? I mean, that's what it was. It was like, if they can get the number one pick in this draft, we'll take this kid. And if this one doesn't work, then I'll start believing in curses.
That's true. At this time last year, there was hope, and there was a lot of really good things too. So it was maybe a more complicated decision. That
this time last year, yeah, we had no idea about Caleb Williams.
Yeah.
This time, you know, 8 weeks from now, that's when we were starting to think.
But to your point, I think every NFL team that ended up with the number one pick, if they were going to need a quarterback, they knew that this guy had been on the top list for a while.
And to throw in Rome Odunze too, again as a Jets fan, that was the guy that I'm hoping for, right? Like, that was the one, and I think a lot of teams and a lot of fans were. So,
did you have Odunze over Neighbors?
Yes.
You did?
I did.
Do you have him over Harrison?
I think you could have made the argument. Like, to me, they were really, really close. And all these, I mean, all the reports on Neighbors, I was just reading up. I mean, these guys are going to be really, really good. And you talked about it, like, throwing Odunze into this situation.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, What an unbelievable environment to step into.
Yeah, crazy gift.
I just love watching that guy. Every time he is breaking free, he's making catches in traffic. He does all those different things. So I'm excited to see how they use him too.
So back to Caleb, and knowing Lincoln Riley, knowing the system, and knowing college football the way that you have, the major step-ups here, the major challenges for Caleb are what in your mind?
So, again, like the flow of game, when you're playing with him, you're playing fast, you're playing out of the shotgun, you're playing Madden. Right? Like, you're playing Madden, you're trying to score. So I think that this is going to be a slower pace and just kind of natural things, right? I do. There's taking snaps under center, getting hit. One of the things that he did so well was extend plays. But if you also, the ramification of that is he's ending up on the ground a ton because he's so dependent on his ability to step outside the pocket and do all these different things. That's got to stop. Like, you can do all of that, but he has to be a little bit more careful. Like, they have to keep him upright. So a lot of it for him is just going to be, he was so confident in his way to make throws because he can pretty much make, some of these throws where he's on the run, he's sailing it downfield are insane. They're going to be a little harder now. So they almost have to rein him in a little bit because he had such free roaming
like
experience. Yeah, no, I
disagree.
I do.
I disagree with that entire notion.
I think it's a great opportunity to rein him in for the good of the team because you're actually a really good team with a good defense, theoretically,
yes,
and good talent, that you can let him, you can rein, you can overcorrect a little bit on the reining in because it actually fits what you do as a team and let him get comfortable for everything else.
The danger that is, though, trying to do, like, doing what you did with Justin Fields, which is, like, not let the guy be himself, right? There is a balance to trying to let the guy thrive. So,
yeah, and if he's going to be the MVP of the league, he needs to do all the crazy stuff.
He doesn't have to be MVP of the league this year.
You know, right, yeah. I know, but you don't want to coach out the mentality.
But then you
second guess yourself, like, you know, that if he models his game after Aaron Rodgers, Aaron Rodgers has a 45 touchdown, 6 interception season.
I understand that, but that wasn't his rookie year. It's like at this point,
Mahomes was 50 touchdowns, 5,000 yards his second year.
But that's true. And his first year starting. If he's got Mahomes levels of skills, which seem to be once in a lifetime, then we'll get there and we'll see that quickly. My point is that you need the quick game in the NFL.
Yes.
You need to be able to hit all your gimmies and use your talent with quick slants and stuff like that in addition to everything else. And I don't think Justin really has the skills to do the quick game in the NFL. I think Caleb does.
I think he does. And Keenan Allen, I mean, like, this is a system that you can do a lot of different things. All these wideouts that they have are so different in what they do. And obviously, again, a guy like Rome, where are you going to throw him in? So, no, there is, like, unlimited potential for him. And I say that as just someone that's watched him and a bystander. I'm very curious just with Hard Knocks, like, his general disposition, because this has been so debated.
Absolutely.
It has been so talked about. It's over-talked about. Like, let the guy just kind of be himself. We're going to overanalyze what he says, what he doesn't say. I mean, that is probably going to be a huge talking point here coming out of tonight.
Are you a Sox fan?
I'm a Mets fan.
Oh, okay, I saw your tweets about the White Sox. Someone texted in and said we should ask you about it.
Well, I just, like, it is
21 losses.
It's actually amazing. I mean,
yeah,
it is so bad that you can't help. Like, every night, I'm just looking at box scores. And
so they have crossed over speed. the sport of baseball has crossed over.
Well, I'm telling you, like, a 21-game losing streak, it's a national story. It was number one on ESPN.com today. And you, just as a sports fan and observer, are fascinated by
it. As a gambler, too, like, I can't help but look at, you know, all of the different ways that we could have made money betting against them. I know my Mets come in town here in a couple of weeks to play there, and, like, now I feel obligated to go see this sporting event. Hopefully they'll have a win by then. They're going to get a win at some point, right?
They got two more in Oakland, and then it's against the Cubs. Then it's two more against the Cubs.
Oh, that's like poetic right there.
It is.
So, yeah, it can be 25 straight or, you know, obviously it could end at any time, but that'd be a lot. I want them to get a win before the Cubs series.
For some reason, and maybe it's because I keep thinking about the psychology of a team when you know you're this bad and, like, you know the loss is somewhat inevitable. The fact that if they do have a lead, they have blown more saves than anybody in baseball by a wide margin.
Yes.
If they don't have a lead, they have yet to come back when trailing after 6 innings or 7 innings or 8 innings.
That's actually amazing.
They haven't come back once all season long. That seems impossible to me that you can be bad enough to never come back and bad enough to never hold a lead.
I do feel bad, though. Like, part of me, I'm like, wow, this is a spectacle. But it has to be miserable in there. Like
we know it's miserable.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, we've reported on it. It seems pretty miserable.
It seems pretty miserable. You know, Gavin Sheets, who might not want to talk to us, has lived through all 21 of these losses. His father, Larry Sheets, lived through all 21 of the Orioles' losses. Father, son.
Mm, it runs in the family.
That's not something
not the
to be
Wikipedia
proud of.
Highlights there. I mean, that's
is that
bad.
Amazing, though? You've got a father and son with these two 21-game loss streaks.
What is amazing, too, is like 2 years ago, this team looked like a viable, sustainable thing.
Yeah.
Right? We weren't talking about them to win anything of substance, but like really good young players. Even this year, you have a breakout pitcher. So it is hard to consume.
What's the best course on Golden Tee right now?
Man, there are so many. I think my favorite course of all time is Bonnymoor. And we just made kind of the first time ever a sister course in Golden Tee. So it's Bonnymoor Black. So we have two different versions of this. The reason why at the time it was just so scoreable. And when I was playing the game, I was like, you just want to shoot your low score, right? You want a personal best. This course set me up and set up everybody for a personal best. So what we did is we said, like, hey, people like to shoot good scores. Let's change the dynamics of the course up a little bit to allow for better scoring. Of course, it's risk-reward. It's the whole Golden Tee thing. You're going to probably fail on 16, 17, 18, those holes, and you'll try it again. There's very much the real golf component to it is, like, you're going to get close enough,
man,
but not quite there.
What's your best score?
31 under.
See, Shane, you're not that good. You're not that good.
31 under.
This guy's got 31 under.
That's 18 holes.
You're like, 15 under.
Yeah, it seems good.
Not anymore, though. The game is not as good as it used to be. I used to play competitively when I was in college. That's how I got into it. I went to tournaments. I played at regionals.
You drank beer.
I drank beer. Yeah.
You watched college football. Okay, you played Golden Tee. We understand.
It's a tremendous
you go to a Big Ten school.
Years,
where'd you go?
Iowa, and then I ended up in Illinois State. Yeah, so Midwest. Yeah.
Yeah, that checks out.
This is like therapy for me right now. You figured out a lot.
That checks out.
Wow.
Listen, congrats on combining your hobbies.
You.
That's very cool. Who should we bet on to win in college football this year?
Ohio State. Okay. You're not going to get a lot of value. But,
no, we're not.
But this is the best team that money can buy. And if they don't win, Ryan Day is going to be it's going
to
be bad.
One more. Jim Harbaugh came really close to admitting that he had been involved in sign stealing. And then it sounded to us like he decided in real time to triple down and lie. What are your thoughts?
Well, first off, if you've ever spent time with him, it is not an act. This guy is just a genuinely odd peculiar man. Like, this is what he is. And so a lot of people ask me, is this real? Is it real? No, it's real. And yeah, this will be funny watching the Netflix thing come out, and you'll start to hear more details. The allegations are there. He knows, right? Like, okay. This is hilarious hearing that sound.
Yeah, he knows.
And they'll play that till the end of time.
Adam Kramer, Kegs and Eggs, come on out to the Wall in Gurnee, and you can register for a shot. If you get a hole in one, get a Golden Tee machine in your house. We got one at the studio. It is awesome. We'll put a bow on this thing. Parkinson Spiegel on the score.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
It's been a long 4 hours.
Afternoons on the score.
What a show.
What a blast.
What a place.
What a day.
What a crowd.
What a crowd.
Give it up for yourselves, by the way.
Oh. Wow, Gurnee.
Shout out to Gurnee.
Ladies and gentlemen, Panderman has re-grabbed the microphone.
So beautiful.
That's
you
what
guys,
everybody says.
All you people.
You guys are the most beautiful crowd. We've done this before for other crowds. They were very ugly. You are beautiful.
This is the most beautiful place I've ever seen. These fine guys.
Give it up for Gurnee Mills, the best Mills of all the Mills. That's right.
Remember how ugly they were the last time we did Bourbonnais for Bears Canada?
Oh, no.
Yeah.
No, I don't, Shane.
It was rough.
I didn't get specific. You got specific.
Ugly.
Panderman must learn. He must learn.
It funnier.
No, this is a very cool thing. It was an excellent concept, yeah. And we hope the score is back here many, many times.
We're going to be hanging around. We're not leaving.
No, no, we're not leaving. Yeah,
the show's going to be over, and you'll be sad.
We'll meet and greet. Yeah, we'll be walking around, answer all your off-the-record questions.
That's right.
All of them?
This is Tanny, so direct all your questions to him.
Sure. Honestly. Should we answer some of the expected off-the-record questions now?
No.
I really want to.
No. I'm good. Well, what's on your mind?
All right, here's one answer. Yes, Dan Bernstein is really like that.
Oh, yeah. There we go. Yeah, that's the one that we get. That's the one we get the most.
That's what we get the most.
It's true.
It used to be, tell me really about Mike North.
Mike North.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Now it's, is Bernsey really like that? Yes, he is.
Yes, David Haw does nothing but listen to this show when he's not working.
Yes,
it's
true.
Countdown to a text. It's true. 5, 4, 3.
David Haw getting HBO tonight.
What?
Big news on the morning show.
He had to buy HBO?
Yeah.
He had to buy HBO Max?
Max. Yeah.
Max. Yep.
Tell you what, Max.
Oh, he had to purchase Max now?
So has he never seen The Sopranos?
He's never seen any. He said he's never seen any of the HBO shows.
I mean,
how does he watch Euphoria?
He watches it during the morning show. on Dustin's phone, he watches.
I mean, listen, if you would have said what host doesn't have HBO, he probably would have been the first pick.
All right, all-time rankings of HBO shows. For me, number 4, Sopranos. Number 3, Curb Your Enthusiasm. Number 2, 6 Feet Under. Number 1, Hard Knocks Bears. I haven't even seen it yet.
Wow.
Number 1.
Haven't you not even finished Curb?
Curb?
Yeah.
No, I finished Curb.
Oh, you did finish Curb.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, cool.
6 Feet Under was the best, though.
Yeah, I know. You love 6 Feet Under.
I sure do.
I mean, Tanny and I will go back and forth. I'm the Wire one. He's Sopranos one.
Yeah.
But
Hard Knocks Bears.
I got to be open to the possibility.
That's why I did the list.
My friend, that it's going to be a new number one. It's certainly possible.
That's right. Even though it's not live, as you've been telling us.
I mean, yeah, it's...
And you told us not to be excited about it.
That's not what I said. That's taking it all out of context. Listen, we need thank yous to give up to Nico Horner and Chris Emma. And Adam Kramer were our guests today.
They were all really good. Nico is as good as it gets every single week. Cub fans, rewind and listen to him.
Yeah, he was excellent. Rich Wyatt, Connor O'Donnell, we very much appreciate you being out here and getting us on the air in the video stream. Dylan Riley and John Sopcich and Eleni Kaifas, I apologize. And Josh from Black Lung Brewing. Everyone here at The Wall was amazing. Tyler Farengol and Sean Sears back in the shop were spectacular.
To all of you enjoying Hard Knocks tonight, especially you, $200 Costco Bears tent guy.
Yes.
You have a great night.
Yeah, our executive producer is Shane Reardon. Thank you, sir. Chris Tannehill making us sound better than we are each and every day. For Matt Spiegel, I'm Danny Parkins. We are Parkins and Spiegel. Check out The Wall. This is Parkins and Spiegel on The Score.
And then Hard Knocks.
Today, I do not apologize.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
It's been a long 4 hours.
Afternoons on The Score.
What a show.
What a blast.
What a place.
What a day.
What a crowd.
What a crowd.
Give it up for yourselves, by the way.
Oh, wow, Gurney!
Shout out to Gurney.
Ladies and gentlemen, Panderman has re-grabbed the microphone.
So beautiful.
That's you what guys, everybody says.
All you people.
You guys are the most beautiful crowd. We've done this before for other crowds. They were very ugly. You are beautiful.
This is the most beautiful place I've ever seen. These fine guys.
Give it up for Gurney Mills, the best Mills of all the Mills. That's right.
Remember how ugly they were the last time we did Bourbonnais for Bears Camp?
No. No, I don't, Shane.
It was rough.
I didn't get specific. You got specific.
Ugly.
Pander makes man it funnier. Must learn. He must learn.
Makes it funnier. No, this is a very cool thing. It was an excellent concept, yeah. And we hope the score is back here many, many times.
We're going to be hanging around. We're not leaving.
No, we're not leaving. Yeah, the
show's going to be over, and you'll be sad.
We'll meet and greet. Yeah, we'll be walking around, answer all your off-the-record questions.
That's right.
All of them?
This is Tanny, so direct all your questions to him.
Sure. Honestly. Should we answer some of the expected off-the-record questions now?
No.
I really want to.
No. I'm good. Well, what's on your mind?
All right, here's one answer. Yes, Dan Bernstein is really like that.
Oh yeah, there we go. Yeah, that's the one that
we get the most.
It's true.
It used to be tell me really about Mike North.
Mike North.
Yeah. Exactly. Now it's, is Bernsey really like that? Yes, he is.
Yes, David Haw does nothing but listen to the show when he's not working.
Yes,
it's
he does.
True.
Countdown to a text. It's true. 5, 4, 3.
David Haw getting HBO tonight.
What?
Big news on the morning show.
He had to buy HBO?
Yeah.
He had to buy HBO Max?
Max.
Max. Yep. Tell you what, Max.
Oh, he had to purchase Max now?
So has he never seen The Sopranos?
He said he's never seen any of the HBO shows.
I mean,
how does he watch Euphoria?
Does he know about Sweeney?
He watches it during the morning show. on Dustin's phone, he watches.
Listen. If you would have said what host doesn't have HBO,
he
probably would have been the first pick.
All right, all-time rankings of HBO shows. For me, number 4, Sopranos. Number 3, Curb Your Enthusiasm. Number 2, 6 Feet Under. Number 1, Hard Knocks Bears. I haven't even seen it yet.
Wow.
Number 1.
Haven't you not even finished Curb?
Curb?
Yeah.
No, I finished Curb.
Oh, you did finish Curb.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, cool.
6 Feet Under was the best, though.
Yeah, I know. You love 6 Feet Under.
I sure do.
I mean, Tanny and I will go back and forth. I'm the Wire one. He's Sopranos one.
Yeah.
But
Hard Knocks Bears.
I got to be open to the possibility.
That's why I did the list.
My friend, that it's going to be a new number one. It's certainly possible.
That's right. Even though it's not live, as you've been telling us.
You told us
not to be excited about it.
That's not what I said. That's taking it all out of context. Listen, we have thank yous to give up to Nico Horner and Chris Emma. And Adam Kramer were our guests today.
They were all really good. Nico is as good as it gets every single week. Cub fans rewind and listen to him.
Yeah, he was excellent. Rich Wyatt, Connor O'Donnell, we very much appreciate you being out here and getting us on the air in the video stream. Dylan Riley and John Sopcich and Eleni Kaifas, I apologize. And Josh from Black Lung Brewing. Everyone here at the Wall was amazing. Tyler Farengol and Sean Sears back in the shop were spectacular.
To all of you enjoying Hard Knocks tonight, especially you, $200 Costco Bears tent guy.
Yes.
You have a great night.
Yeah, our executive producer is Shane Reardon. Thank you, sir. Chris Tannehill making us sound better than we are each and every day. For Matt Spiegel, I'm Danny Parkins. We are Parkins and Spiegel. Check out the Wall. This is Parkins and Spiegel on Score.
And Hard Knocks.
Today, I do not apologize.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.